అంటే శ్రీ భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్కి, ఇస్కాన్ పాండాచార్య శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్కి, ప్రేమసకహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధ శివాసరి గో భక్త బంధుకి, శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గొప్ప గొప్పనాథ్ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి, శ్రీ వృందావన ధామ్కి, శ్రీ మాయాపుర నావదీ ధామ్కి, భక్తిదేవి తులసిదేవి వృందాదేవికి, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ ఆఫ్ గోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ ఆఫ్ గోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ ఆఫ్ గోరీస్, గ్రంథరాజ్యం భాగవతానికి, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు గురు గురాంగ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. This morning we are studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, Verse number 11. Pandu Putra Upasinam, Prashaya Prema Sangatam, అభ్యచష్టానురాగాశ్రయ అంధీభూతేన చక్షుషా పాండుపుత్రానుపాసీనాం ప్రశయా ప్రేమసంగతాం అభ్యచష్టానురాగాశ్రయ అంధీభూతేన చక్షుషా. ప్లీజ్ చాంట్. Word to word, Pandu, the late father of Maharaj Yudhishthira and his brothers, Putran, the sons of Upasinan, sitting silently nearby, Prashaya, being overtaken, Prema, in feelings of love, Sangatan, having gathered, Abhyachashta, congratulated, Anuraga, feelingly, Ashray, by tears of ecstasy, Andi Bhutena, overwhelmed, Chakshusha, with his eyes. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The sons of Maharaj Pandu were sitting silently nearby, overtaken with affection for their dying grandfather. Seeing this, Bhishma Dev congratulated them with feeling. There were tears of ecstasy in his eyes, for he was overwhelmed by love and affection. Purport. When Maharaj Pandu died, his sons were all small children, and naturally they were brought up under the affection of elderly members of the royal family, specifically by Bhishma Dev. Later on, when the Pandavas were grown up, they were cheated by cunning Duryodhan and company, and Bhishma Dev, although he knew that the Pandavas were innocent and were unnecessarily put into trouble, could not take the side of the Pandavas for political reasons. At the last stage of his life, when Bhishma Dev saw his most exalted grandsons, headed by Maharaj Yudhishthira, sitting very gently at his side, the great warrior grandfather could not check his loving tears, which were automatically flowing from his eyes. He remembered the great tribulations suffered by his most pious grandsons. Certainly, he was the most satisfied man because of Yudhishthira's being enthroned in place of Duryodhan. And thus he began to congratulate them. When I read this, actually I was supposed to give class tomorrow, and then Chaturatma Prabhu asked me to change with him. So that was last week. So when I read this verse, I thought about a play that I had seen, and probably some of you had seen, done by Lohitaksha and Rasagya, Karna and Kunti. How many of you have seen that? Not many. Hardly any, I should say, here. But this was, at least when I saw it, it was in Gita Nagari, I think in 1982. Sishabu was saying he might have seen that in New York. Just such an play, emotions, so many emotions there. Kunti and Karna, the meeting of them, and Kunti asking, Kunti letting Karna know that she is the mother. I remember sitting down and just crying and crying in that play, watching that play. This is certainly that samvad, say Kunti and Karna samvad, didn't come into the Bhagavatam. That was not part of the Bhagavatam. It's Mahabharata. But other things have made in the Bhagavatam specifically for some reasons. So you have Kunti saying her prayers to Krishna. That made into the Bhagavatam because it's a separation of Krishna and Kunti is feeling separation from Krishna, his leaving. And in this first canto, we see that there's so many pastimes are here that are full of separation in the first canto. So we have Kunti, then we are coming here with Bhishma Dev expressing his feelings to Krishna. Then later on we have Arjun, when he comes and Krishna leaves, and Yudhishthira is wondering what happened to, why is Arjun not coming back, and then Arjun comes and tells Yudhishthira Maharaj that Krishna has left. I remember asking Kalyapani to, if he could please do that as a play, you know. Just, you need really good actors to do a play to bring out emotions, you know. And that play about Arjun feeling separation from Krishna, and it's like, just reading the Bhagavatam is pretty, it's pretty emotional. So this is the topic today of my class is emotions. Emotions. So we're seeing that how Bhishma Dev, he just welcomed all the sages, described that he took care of them according to time and place. He welcomed them. And then just the previous verse we heard yesterday, a nice class by Adhikarta Prabhu, about Lord Krishna and him He is being welcomed and worshipped by Bhishma Dev. And now, this verse here. This verse is about two devotees. Two devotees feeling separation from each other. This imminent death is happening of Bhishma Dev. And I say two, although they're all the Pandavas are here, but I'm specifically saying two in regards to Arjun, the hero here, and Bhishma Dev, another hero. They're two heroes, they're two devotees. And they're feeling, they're going to be separated. And look at the words that are being used here. Yudhishthira describes, they're assembled prashaya prema sangatan. They're overtaken, this is the Pandava, so Arjun is overtaken in feelings of love as he sees his grandfather Bhishma Dev leaving. And Bhishma Dev, he's great warrior, a kshatriya, a great grandfather, almost at this stage. And he describes andhi bhutena chakshusha, overwhelmed with his eyes by tears of ecstasy. Andhi bhutena, it's actually the word literal meaning is he was blinded. So you know how when you're crying, you get blind with your tears. So he is, so literal meaning is that he was blinded, he was overwhelmed by tears of ecstasy. These are two devotees, Bhishma Dev and Arjun. Now Bhishma Dev is leaving his body, and here describes that Arjun is sitting silently nearby. And then Prabhupada, even in the purport, he says, sitting very gently at his side. So sitting right next to Bhishma Dev, who is about to leave his body. And Srila Prabhupada mentions certain things about Bhishma Dev, where his, who, you kind of, when somebody is crying, and here he's leaving his body and the affection is there, let's just examine what's going on in his heart or what might have gone into his heart. Because sometimes we also go through these things. He loves his grandson. If you have grandsons, or if you have children or grandchildren, the love between grandparents and grandkids is actually very special. It's very overwhelming. And so Bhishma Dev was grandfather of Arjuna. And Arjuna had sat on his lap so many times. And he had other grandchildren, Duryodhana and their party. And he loved them too. He had them on his lap as well. He loved all his grandkids. But there was something about Arjuna, or the Pandavas, but that he saw them being abused, but he could not do anything. Being abused is one thing, but seeing somebody being abused is actually harder. He's the grandfather who is seeing some of his grandkids are being abused by his other grandkids, and he loved them both. But the hard part was that he couldn't say anything. His hands were tied. He couldn't express anything. So can you imagine what his heart must have been? How a feeling of guilt? Prabhupada writes here very clearly that they were put into trouble and he could not take the side of the Pandavas, who were the innocent ones. Not only the innocent ones, but they were fatherless. So more so, they were unprotected. They didn't have a father. And so they were really unprotected. And Bhishma Dev was their grandfather, and how he must felt, he must have felt that he couldn't protect his grandkids. And so at this stage, Bhishma Dev is leaving his body, and you can imagine how happy he must be feeling. Prabhupada writes, he was the most satisfied man. He was most satisfied because he finally felt like all what was meant to be for the Pandavas is actually has happened. It's almost like he felt like he repaid his debt to them. I mean, he did it in other ways too, as we know that when in the story that how Bhishma Dev, when Krishna told Arjuna that we need to go to Bhishma Dev to find out how he can die. So can you imagine what a question? There are so many questions. What am I supposed to do when I die, when I leave my body? But to ask somebody a question, by the way, how do I kill you? I mean, what a question to ask somebody, how do I kill you? Oh, not anybody, oh grandfather, how do I kill you? What a question. And Bhishma, they must have felt so happy. Can you imagine? He must have felt so happy that they came to ask this question. Grandfather, how can we kill you? So he told them, this is how you can kill me. So there are times where Bhishma Dev must have felt so satisfied to do so. And now finally what he wanted, and this he knew that Krishna wanted that, is that Yudhishthira be on the throne. So what a satisfaction he's feeling. He must feel being a real hero at this stage, that all his life he has gone through so much. Bhishma Dev has gone through so much, and finally what he wanted is happening. And now he can leave his body in peace. Not just for that reason, because Krishna is also there. But right now we're concentrating on Bhishma and Arjuna relationship here. So that's Bhishma Dev. So let's look at Arjuna. Arjuna, he's the grandchild. And Bhishma Dev is his superior. He's his grandfather. He looks up to him. He loves him. He has sat on his lap. I don't know what Arjuna must have, things he must have done, and Bhishma Dev must have tolerated as a grandfather or loved it. So here's Arjuna. And the hard part, it'd be hard to be in Arjuna's shoes. Here Arjuna loves his grandfather so much, but he says, and he tells Krishna, how can I fight Bhishma Dev? Katham Bhishma Ham Sankhe? How can I issue the prati yotsyami? He's specifically saying, it's so interesting, I was thinking about this class. He specifically says, how can I, by ishubhi, by arrows, how can I fight Bhishma Dev? It's interesting that he says that, because it is him who fought Bhishma Dev with his arrows. It was him who got Bhishma Dev on the bed of arrows. So here, Arjuna does not want to fight. He says, I don't care. I don't care. They are my gurus. That second chapter is just amazing. Second chapter. After Krishna brings him there, he says, Guru Nahatva hi Mahanubhavan. He says, these are great people. I rather live by begging. Bhoktum Bhiksham. He says, I rather live by begging. But no, Krishna had something else for him. And he's the one who shot arrows at his grandfather and lay on his bed. What a feeling. Even though he heard Krishna speaking in the Bhagavad Gita, but still, does that make it any less difficult for him to shoot his grandfather with arrows? These are both devotees. I was thinking, there are a lot of thoughts were coming to my mind about people leaving their bodies and the guilt, different feelings of guilt. I remember when Sunita left, and I mean, it was so hard when Sunita left her body. I mean, just she was, you know, like an, she was like an older sister to me, a friend, being coming from the same background. It's so funny because even before I met her, people would say, ask me, oh, are you Sunita's sister? So I didn't even know who she was when people would ask me that. And, but yeah, it was so hard that when she left, but harder part was that I remember she was standing right out there outside the temple room that morning before she went to the springs. And she was asking all the ladies, oh, it was the last day of the school, and she was asking the ladies, let's go to the spring, come to the spring. And she asked me a few times, and she says, come on, Madhumati, let's go to the spring. You have to come to the spring. I said, no, I don't like the springs. The water is too cold, and I don't know how to swim. She said, come on, that's why you get a noodle, and you can just come. And I told her, I didn't want to go because I can't swim. I don't like the water, you know. And I had to tell her no. And then she left. And I just the feeling of sadness, I almost kind of felt like that was her last wish almost. She was asking all the devotees to come. And I didn't go. You know, the feeling of like, wow, that just like made it worse, the fact that she left and then I didn't go to the springs with her. She wanted me to. I mean, the feelings of, are, you know, people leaving is such a, you know, the guilt. So Arjun must be, the guilt that he must be feeling to see his grandfather on a bed of arrows. I was thinking about, you know, Kalyapani and how, you know, my heart went out to Ishwara, you know, who was a mistake. You know, an accident, but still a devotee having being the instrument to have another devotee leave. These are things that are very real in life. And it's very difficult when you think about it, when you look at this verse, and you see that these things happen. And yeah, so here Arjun loves his grandfather. He doesn't want to kill his grandfather, but why does he have to do it? Wouldn't have that been better if everybody lived and they would have just lived by begging? But no, because this is what Krishna wanted. All the arguments that Arjuna was giving were pretty good arguments according to Dharma. But Krishna didn't say no. Following me is the greatest of all. But here, so Arjun is there in next to his grandfather, who is leaving his body. And so you wonder, who is the hero here? Is Arjun the hero? Surely he is the hero. But is Bhishma Dev the hero? Bhishma Dev, to me, is like, he's the real hero. Although, it's interesting because Bhishma Dev was in the wrong camp. He was in the wrong camp. But we heard from Shyam Kishore Prabhu that how Bhishma Dev, although external reasons were not good. Actually, Prabhupada says in the purport of Guru Nahatvahi Mahanubhavan, he describes that actually Bhishma Dev and Drona, they were not fit to be, they were teachers to be rejected because they had lost their sense of discrimination. So Arjuna is calling them superiors, and they are Pujarhav, Arisudana. These are to be worshipped, and you're asking Krishna to me to kill them. But Prabhupada says in the purport that yes, they were for financial reasons and political reasons, they did not take part. They were in those circumstances fit to be rejected as gurus. But we know that Bhishma Dev knows he knows Krishna's plan, and Bhishma Dev knew that he was in the wrong camp. And Bhishma Dev knew that Krishna, the Pandavas are going to win because Krishna is on their side. But Bhishma Dev is a real hero here, or he's the winner, I should say. And in some sense, Arjuna is the loser because he's losing. He lost everybody, and he's losing his grandfather. This exchange amongst devotees, I was thinking, wow, what is it? I mean, here Bhishma Dev is in tears. Arjuna was in tears before the war. He's in tears now. But the tears are described for Bhishma Dev. He's overwhelmed by love and affection. In our lives as devotees, you know, we could sometimes shy away with emotions. But Krishna consciousness is full of emotions. And amongst devotees, since we're talking about amongst devotees, sometimes in our own lives, if you have been long enough, you experience quite many things amongst devotees. I mean, people that you love, that you're close to, whether they're dear family members or they are very close friends, sometimes they go to different camps. There are plenty of camps out there, whether it's, other philosophies, whether it's Rithvic philosophy or this mutt or that, group or whatever. There's so many out there. So when your close friends go in that direction, you're troubled. You love them. They love you. But yet the emotions are as such that you're distanced. Or maybe you feel distanced by your family members or close friends because they get involved in something that is not the best thing for them. And you feel for them. And you love them. And then that's kind of situation where you're distanced for some reason or other, and then they're leaving their bodies. Oh my God, like you feel like, it's very difficult. So what this Bhagavatam, we understand, is Pibata Bhagavatam Rasalayam. This Bhagavatam is a place of, is full of rasa. So what is this that's making this a rasa between the two devotees here? It's not sentiment. We're not talking about some emotional, sentimental exchanges here. No. This is ecstasies, actually. That's why this is in the Bhagavatam, is pure ecstasy between the two devotees here. Because everything we have just heard is because of Krishna. It is because of Krishna that Arjuna shot arrows. It is because of Krishna that Bhishma Dev was on the other side, to establish what it is that if you're on the other side of dharma, you're definitely going to be lost. You're going to lose. So this is a Krishna-centered emotional exchange here. So amongst devotees, if we keep Krishna in the center of our lives, then our exchanges amongst devotees is also rasa, is also ecstasies. I think that is the main point. Krishna is in the spiritual world is nothing but full of emotions. There's so much emotions are being churned. And in this material world, amongst Vaishnavas, certainly Krishna also churns our hearts. It's like churning the milk ocean. When you churn the milk of ocean, what came out first? poison. Poison came out first. So when we are in our immature state, when our hearts are churned amongst Vaishnavas, when poison comes out, the anarthas comes out. But as long as we keep on churning that ocean, and as long as we keep on following the process, that churning will eventually, what will come out is nectar. I think Devyanga Prabhu experiences that, and that's why he's smiling. But yes, if we continue to churn, our anarthas will keep on coming out, and then eventually we will have nectar come out in our exchanges amongst Vaishnavas. Because it's only through the Vaishnavas, in the association of Vaishnavas, we rub against each other, then that's how we get, smooth. I think Prabhupada gives some example about that, like the diamond or something. What is that example? Or the coal? Rub against each other and then become smooth or something. This is something that is, this verse is something very, very valuable in for ourselves amongst devotees as we hear this, understand this, and what's going on in this. It's not just, Bhishma Dev and Arjuna and they're feeling separation, but there's a lot of emotions, all kinds of feelings, sadness, happiness, guilt, separation, the emotions that are being churned here, and that's just our spiritual life. That's how Krishna deals with us, is he churns our hearts. I was thinking about how Varuna, he tells little Krishna churn, he has this thing going on with, it says, my heart to your heart. And then little Krishna churn, who's 2 years old, he says, Nanu, my heart to your heart. And what is this going on? I was thinking, it's just a devotee wanting to express or give his heart to another devotee. That's what we are looking for. We want to give our feelings to another devotee. We want to exchange that love. We want to experience that love. Because that's one thing, is that as a devotee, we are compassionate towards the honored soul. Amongst devotees, we have friendship. And friendship is give and take of our emotions, confidentially ask and hear. And like that, six exchanges. And then we have for Krishna, where we give everything to Krishna. We give everything to Krishna, which we will see Bhishma Dev doing so in the later pages. So I will stop here. If you have any questions or comments on this subject matter, please do so now.
Very nice class, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That reminded me of drama that Annapayani did in the temple here too. Do you remember her drama?
That's right. Annapayani had done that. Actually, Shyamadarshini was telling, because I was asking Shyamadarshini whether she had seen. She says, no, mom. Then I realized that was long ago, but she told me that Annapayani had done with, who else?
Kalia Pani Prabhu and I don't remember who else was there.
Yeah, she was Kunti.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be nice. Plays are something really, it can bring the emotions out. Something very valuable. We hope that our younger generation comes up with plays. I remember, some of the devotees had done this very nice play, Vipralamba Bhava. Vani had, Vani and Vrindavani had directed that play, and it's just the highest emotions being expressed in a play was just really, really nice. And I remember Shyamadarshini had some real amazing line in the end, and plays are very important. I mean, that's something that happens in the spiritual world. Apparently, every day there is a play of Krishna, and everybody is watching Krishna, watching the play. So all the Brajabasis are looking at Krishna, how he's reacting to the play. And Krishna is looking at the play. But yeah, plays are a very important part of our practices, actually. I mean, you have Rupa Goswami writing such plays. So we hope that the younger devotees would actually start doing plays again.
And then Arjuna grew up thinking that Bhishma Maharaj was his father. For a long time he thought that he was his father.
Well, he, in one sense, he was like a father to them, because they didn't have a father. So he actually, you know, that's what happens sometimes when the parents are not there, or the father is, mother is not there, then the grandparents take that role of being the father, they replace that role. So Bhishma Dev was certainly like a father and a grandfather to the Pandavas. So yeah, you're right in thinking that way.
And then you said about the Prabhupada gave the example of the rubble in a, you put it in a some startup or thing that goes over the hill.
Mm-hmm.
So the gravel quarrels with each other, but when it comes down, it becomes a sand.
Uh-huh.
And coal, you pressurize it, and when you pressurize it a lot, perfectly, then it becomes diamond. I think
that's the example that I was thinking. Yes, about the coal. The coal is, yeah.
And then when our balance match.
Yeah, thank you. Can you imagine from coal to diamond? So there's some hope that we stay, although with COVID we are so physically distant from each other, but that's all right. We can still be together otherwise, and rub against each other. We don't have to try even. We just rub against each other. It just happens naturally. Anyway, any other comments or questions? Yes. Marvin, is that?
Yeah. So, our subtle body is still a material body in the sense that we have to transcend, we have to purify.
Mm-hmm.
And our subtle body is made of our intelligence, but also our emotions, as mm-hmm. well like our emotional body. So my question is, what is that line? What is the difference from emotions that keep you in this material world, emotions that are technically material, or emotions that are transcendental or spiritual and go to the spiritual world? Or it's just emotion, or love is just love, or it's such a thing as emotions that keep you bound to the material world, or emotions that liberate you from the material world?
Oh, they're definitely different. They're definitely different, actually. And that's the kind of what I was expressing here. We see between Bhishma Dev and Arjun, those emotions are spiritual. There is no material element to it. Although they're related to each other materially, but the exchanges that are happening here are totally spiritual. The reason being, Arjun here, his whole, where he's at right now, where the scene that has happened just now that we see in the Bhagavatam, this verse, is because Krishna was the center in their lives. That's the reason. Arjun initially, if you remember, did not want to fight. And those emotions were based on the body. But then he transcended those emotions, because Krishna said, no, you have to go beyond this. And you have to do it for me. And therefore Arjun goes beyond his own personal emotions that he's my grandfather, and I have to do what Krishna is telling me to do. So what Arjun transcended, you can see that was a big surrender for Arjun. What he did was a big surrender. We see that also, in Kunti's prayers that we just went through, Kunti is saying to Arjuna, Kunti is saying to Krishna, while Krishna is about to leave Hastinapur, and she says to Krishna that, oh dear Krishna, please cut off these attachments that I have for the Pandavas and the Vrishnis. Because, although they're devotees, but she's saying to please cut them, cut these attachments. But in the very next verse, she's saying, She addresses Krishna as Krishna Sakha, O friend of Arjuna. So why would Kunti, on the verse before she's saying, cut off these attachments, and the next verse she addresses Krishna as Krishna Sakha, O friend of Arjuna. Why does she say that? Because she's saying, cut off this material attachment, but she doesn't want to cut off the spiritual attachment. So she sees that Arjuna is a devotee and Krishna loves Arjuna. So she's saying, no, not that, but my material attachment. So my thoughts on that is that if we are fully Krishna conscious, then our emotions towards another devotee, whether that's a family member or a friend, it's become spiritualized. Spiritualized.
Thank you.
Thank you for the question. Yes, to be comfortable.
Since we're on the topic of Bhishma, Bhishma's position, even though he was on the side of the Kauravas, in one sense, his heart was with the Pandavas. He stood by the Kaurava side because he had promised Satyavati to protect Hastinapur. So he will do that at all costs, you know. So that was his main objective, and that was why he was on that side. But really, his heart was in the Pandavas and the whole war. You know, you could tell. I mean, all the time he would abuse Duryodhana and tell him, you know, stop the war and different things. But that's that. Another thing too.
That's a very good point. That's why he is the most. Prabhupada writes here, he was the most satisfied man because his heart was there. His heart was, he had a sense of duty for the Kauravas, but his heart was, that was where his heart, that's why he's so satisfied today because he's so happy.
And the other point, he could have left his body in the battlefield itself. He didn't have to stay, but he waited 2 months for the sun to go to the northern horizon, But I mean, he could have left his body right away after he was shot like that. But because he had the bone from Shantanu, he could leave his body at will. He just waited for that time. You know, but,
well, he might have waited for that, but he mainly waited for Krishna to come there so that he could
speak back
leave
with
his
him
body,
also.
You know, in Krishna's presence. So yes, thank you for the points.
If someone asks you from the outside the devotee group, what we decide very much depends on the kind of inner integrity we have cultivated by the association we keep. After all, who we are solely depends on whom we associate with. And in Bhishmadev's case, how do you explain that what he was doing, not protesting against disrobing Draupadi's such a humiliation and tolerating for what? All these abuse against the Pandavas. And if that person is not a devotee, what is your explanation? Just curious to understand.
I remember the question I always had trouble with is with Ram leaving Sita in the forest, and how could Ram leave Sita? But then when I thought about it deeper, and maybe hearing from other devotees, it helped me understand that Ram, first of all, was it's not that he left Sita there and he was enjoying in the palace. He was feeling very distressed that he left Sita. Although Sita was in a situation that was very hard for her, but you could see his love later on when he was asked to marry other. Kshatriyas always married more than one. He said no, and then he had a golden Sita. At least that's the story I know made. But not only that, Ram was willing to have, in one sense, a bad name for himself, and Sita was glorified. So although Ram banished Mother Sita, she becomes the glorious one. And Ram did what he did because as a king, he had to set the best example, even if that meant, best example means even if it meant that somebody who is close to him, the closest person to him, to banish that person. So he wanted to set that proper example. So what for me, what helped me to get beyond being kind of like, let's say, upset with Lord Ram for banishing her, Mother Sita, it helped me to understand his position and appreciating, you know, that he was in a more difficult situation than Mother Sita. And even to this day, people criticize Lord Ram. So I have thought more about that than what you were saying about Bhishma Dev. So when you ask about Bhishma Dev, I thought about how I have resolved that Ram and Sita's situation in my mind. And so probably I would take the same path in seeing Bhishma Dev's situation, that out of duty he had to do what he did. Yes, it's like, Bhishma Dev, how come you didn't speak up? Especially the whole one thing at Pandava was going through different things, but maybe because identifying myself as a woman, that's very disturbing to see Bhishma Dev not responding to Draupadi. It's a very difficult situation. And so when you're asking me that, the only thing that come to my mind is to say that he was bound. He was bound. I mean, he certainly, Draupadi asks a very pertinent question, that Bhishma Dev also, according to scriptures, he responded in the appropriate way. His answer was also appropriate, that the laws of karma is as such that it's very difficult to say what should be done or what should not be done. And so your situation is, her question was I lost? If I was lost, if Yudhishthira gave me away after he had lost himself, then if he has already lost himself, how could he give me away? He has no right on me. But then if I am part of him, if he was lost, then I'm already given away. So how come you're asking me separate? How come I'm being brought separately and being, wagered separately? And so Bhishma Dev gives his answer that the laws of karma are very difficult. So I don't know if I have answered your question, but it's just putting myself in Bhishma Dev's shoes, I would say that he had a very difficult situation because he was tied And ultimately, like you're saying, no, not to bring up Krishna as devotees, but I guess that's what I would say. Just like Lord Ram was tied, his hands were tied, Bhishmadev's hands were tied. You have anything further to say, Prangavindapur?
No, I just wanted to have a different view of this subject. Because generally we thought, like, the choice we make, that's what proves who we are, not really what we are coming from, the royal family or these, that it's not really as much important. People really see what I do, what choice I made in my life. So, I thought about it last few days, that Bhishmadev choose these. Okay, we understand it's pleasing Krishna he acted, but ordinary people, foreigners, outside devotees, they really have no clue about Krishna. They just care for the moral law, what they can relate, how to make them understand this is actually a spiritual first-class example of what Bhishmadev did. Like with Ram, Prabhupada gives that. Separation keeps the love alive. That's convincing. You know, even in the Kormi world, they say if you don't feel the absence of a person, then what is the value of that person's presence?
Yeah.
In a couple relationship or anything. You know? So we can relate with that. But Vishwadev is such a character. Even amongst devotees, believe or not, amongst devotees all over the world, it's confusion, not so clear everybody understands about Vishnu's position.
I think that's why Srimad Bhagavatam is Grantharaj. I think that's, so yes, moralist may say this or that. According to moralist, Karna is the winner, or Ekalavya is the hero, or, you know, I mean, therefore, it's so important for us to actually, Mahabharata is great, and we offer our respects to Mahabharata for, you know, and this is coming after Mahabharata, we have the Bhagavatam. And therefore, so important for us to actually refer to Bhagavatam as devotees. It's so important, because otherwise if people get stuck on the Mahabharata, you get the wrong understanding of things, really wrong understanding of things. And therefore, when we read the Bhagavatam, we understand Bhishmadev's position. We understand that, wow, look at that, Krishna. Krishna is there, present, coming to fulfill Bhishmadev's desire. I mean, what a great soul Bhishmadev is. I mean, people have such wrong understandings with Mahabharata and Ramayana that they don't approach the Bhagavatam. I mean, they think Narad Muni is some character, like, I mean, they have such a wrong understanding about Narad Muni. I mean, people have really wrong understanding of so many characters there. And therefore, as devotees, we approach the Bhagavatam and understand through the eyes of the Bhagavatam, and then things become clear to us. Otherwise, we're stuck in the Mahabharata, Vyasadeva wasn't satisfied after the Mahabharata, you know.
Public view in my village where I was born painted Narad Muni as a character that you don't want to utter the name in the house. Because then we'll have a fight. And we don't want to have a fight among the, you know, relative friends and family. So never mention Narad Muni or this anymore. It's such a sad.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just like I had such a different conception about Narad Muni when I grew up with a certain conception of Narad Muni, but wow, I mean, and you hear from the eyes of the Bhagavatam, from the eyes of the Vaishnavas, you know, Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we get the right understanding of all these characters. So, thank you very much. All goes to Srimad Bhagavatam.